Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Blocked the shot, sent Gretzky in, 3-0 Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it! DeMarco! 15 feet, 4 inches, center of the cup, President's Cup to the United States.
Well, hi again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Drive Time, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. This is ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, as always, is show driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Lots going on. Tigers try to give one away this afternoon on opening day up at Comerica Park in front of about 45,000 people. They hold on and win it by a score of 6-5. Speaking of the Low Payment King, how about this one? $138 month lease. New 2017 Ram 1500 four-wheel drive, four-door crew cab, $138 a month, right here at the Superstore as always. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Here's what we got coming up at 5:15 tonight. Craig Kann will join us. He was the original anchor for Golf Channel, covered a lot of Masters over the years. We'll be talking golf. We'll be talking the Masters again coming up tonight at about 5:15 with Craig Kann. Paul Woods, the Detroit Red Wings radio color analyst, will join us at 5:35 tonight. Paul, I think, now Paul's been with the Red Wings his entire career as both a player and as a broadcaster. He played for the Red Wings when they were in the old Olympia Stadium in Detroit. And I know there was a little bit of a gap there between his retirement and when he moved into the broadcast booth, but I guess for all practical purposes, has spent, you know, his entire life either at Olympia or Joe Louis Arena. Of course, we'll be talking about the Red Wings. They close out their season this weekend. The Montreal Canadiens are in Detroit on Saturday. The New Jersey Devils in town on Sunday. Last game, Joe Louis Arena. So we'll talk some Tigers. We'll talk some Masters. We'll talk some Detroit Red Wings on the show tonight. And we'll also tell you about this week's Spotlight Athlete of the Week, brought to you by Drive Time and the Monroe Superstore. First of all, congratulations to Kyle Krieger of Rossford, senior right-hander. He is 2-0 with a no-hitter Monday against Lakota. Had a shutout against Gibsonburg last week. Has allowed just two hits and struck out 13 in 10 innings. Rossford off to a great 4-0 start. Again, Kyle Krieger, Rossford, our boys, math athlete of the week this week. And how about Alexa Boyzel, a Bowser senior, struck out 11 batters Tuesday against Rogers, not allowing a hit in five innings. She has opened this season, get this, an ERA at 2.80, 34 strikeouts in 25 innings. Softball player Boyzel, three-time first-team All-City League selection and also City League Player of the Year. Also earned All-City League recognition twice as a volleyball player. Again, that's over at Bowser. So, again, hats off to Kyle Krieger of Rossford, Alexa Boyzel of Bowser, our boys and girls athletes of the week this week, Spotlight Athletes of the Week. Drive Time with Mike Miller and the Superstore, basically just passing those on to you. Glad to have you on board. Let's take a look now at the leaderboard at the 81st Masters. Hoffman yesterday, Charlie Hoffman, who shot 65. He was 10 shots more today at 75, but he is still at minus 4. He has the lead with Sergio Garcia, who was also at minus 4 today. Right behind them, Ricky Fowler, Peters, both at 3 under. Mickelson, 3 under through 10 now. Justin Rose at 2 under. Other notables, great round today by Ryan Moore. He shot a 69. Rory McIlroy on the 18th hole today really got hosed. He had a short iron in, hit the flag stick. Looked like he would probably have 3, 4, 5 feet for birdie. Hits the flag stick, rolls him up 30 yards back down the fairway. He ended up making bogey, but certainly striking it well. Day is minus 1 today through 9, but a lot of great guys up near the top of that leaderboard. But the story, of course, Sergio Garcia, who a lot of people say, along with Lee Westwood, Paul Casey, Steve Stricker, now at the age of 51, the best players never to win a major. So minus 4, Charlie Hoffman, 65-75 in his two rounds. And Sergio today, a good round for him, 3 under par, 69 himself. He is 4 under now for the tournament as the Masters. The cut, I want to say, is going to be around plus 5 or plus 6. Let's take a quick look here. It's plus 6. So if you're a plus 7, actually, now it just moved a second ago. Plus 7 looks like it's not going to make it. Plus 6, you're in. That tells you a little bit about the conditions at Augusta National today. Again, Golf Talk coming up at 5:15 with one of the original hires by Arnold Palmer and his group at the Golf Channel. Craig Kann is his name. He was a weekend anchor, everybody, at Kalamazoo doing sports, and sent an audition tape down to the Golf Channel. Rest was history. He was there for a long, long time. Craig Kann will join us. Worked a lot of Masters again at 5:15 tonight. A little bit on the Tigers today. Michael Fulmer, great through 6 innings. Wilson comes in, not Alex, Justin Wilson. He was good for an inning. Looks like he's going to get the hold. Tigers had a 4-0 lead going into the top of the 8th inning. Here comes Bruce Rondon. Here comes K-Rod. Lo and behold, 5 runs in the 8th inning for the Boston Red Sox. And the Red Sox basically walked out of that inning with a 5-4 lead, 45,000 at Comerica Park in Detroit today. Tigers, though, come roaring back. They get a big hit from Mikey Matuk to tie the game, of course, at 5-5. Then Jacoby Jones, a couple of the young outfielders, he walked, of course, to give the Tigers a 6-5 win at Comerica Park here today at bottom of the 8th inning. And they left K-Rod in for both the 8th and the 9th inning. But that's going to be a microcosm of the year. I mean, we've talked about it. Baseball experts have talked about it all year long. You know what? Tigers can hit. You know what? Tigers starting pitcher, pretty darn good. You got to like Verlander. You got to like Fulmer. We'll see about Jordan Zimmermann. You know, book still out on that. Anibal Sanchez, by the way, yesterday, he got lit up. Boyd, I think, obviously will be better than he was yesterday. Daniel Norris, not too worried, I don't think, and I don't think most Tiger fans are about the starting pitching, but here we go. Get into the bullpen. K-Rod today. Of course, Rondon today. And all of a sudden, start throwing a little gasoline on the fire down at Comerica Park. So, again, right around the corner, Craig Kann, original anchor, Golf Channel. After this is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. My name is Mike Miller. This is ESPN 106.5, The Ticket.
Local sports. It's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore, the beautiful showroom. Glad to have you on board. That big yellow thing up in the sky, by the way, is sun. Great to see some great weather. Tigers opened up about, 45 miles north of here today, and they hold on. They tried to give one away. They beat the Boston Red Sox today by a score of 6-5. Michael Fulmer was great for 6 innings, shutout baseball, bullpen, gasoline on fire as always, and just basically almost gave one away. They hold on to win it by a score of 6-5. We'll be talking Detroit Red Wings at 5:35 tonight. Paul Woods, the color analyst and former Detroit Red Wing, will join us at 5:35 tonight. Paul, spending basically the majority of his career both as a broadcaster and a Detroit Red Wing player at the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. And when the Montreal Canadiens come to town on Saturday and the New Jersey Devils on Sunday, that's it for the Joe. They'll be moving adjacent to Comerica Park in Detroit and Little Caesars Arena next year. A little golf right now. Masters, of course, Sergio Garcia, 3-under 69 today. He's got the lead with Charlie Hoffman, who's went 65-75. Both those guys at minus four. Peters now has moved to minus four through 14. Ricky Fowler at 3-under. Phil's at 3-under as well. So a lot of fireworks, a lot of great things going on. And a guy that covered a ton of Masters, spent a long time in the golf business, now, of course, television golf business, is a consultant now on many different fronts. Craig Kann joins us here on ESPN's Drive Time. Hello, Canner. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mike? Great to talk to you.
We got to get an update on the volleyball. And, you know, when you and I talked this past summer out at Highland Meadows, you wanted to spend a little bit more time with your family, you told me, and you're certainly doing that today. And you and I chatted via text last night. You said, absolutely, I'll come on, but I'm in the middle of a huge volleyball tournament.
Well, I was in New York City for the last few days, did a talk for KPMG, who's one of the sponsors with the LPGA and obviously has their branding on Phil Mickelson's wardrobe as he's out there at Augusta National, and really enjoyed myself talking to their communications folks, which we can talk about in a minute. But I got home late last night, and I'm out here at the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando watching my daughter play volleyball. She's 16 years old and on a travel team, and we're going to Minneapolis in a couple of weeks for a tournament. She was in Atlanta 10 days ago for a tournament, so it's one of those times, and everybody that's out there that has kids understand, you know, childhood is a short season. I heard that quote once, and I've never forgotten it. So I always try to do what I can do. I've got two in college, as you know, and so one left. We've got to make the most of it.
Well, I got to tell you, I spent my time today, Craig, and watching my new grandson, Bodie, who's 5 months tomorrow. Changed my first diaper in about 30 years, and all I could say was it was a gag fest. I won't go any farther than that. I don't want to say gag fest down at Augusta National because you can't put those two terms together, but the weather certainly has been a factor down there. The cut looks like it's going to be plus six gets in, plus seven doesn't. You have spent many hours covering this tournament, and I always enjoyed your story talking about a guy who everybody that went through the gates at Augusta National starting this week got a badge, Arnie's Army, and you relayed a couple of stories over the years and your relationship with him. What a great first tee ceremonial situation we had the other morning. Arnie's Army, and what can you say? It's the Masters.
It is the Masters, and it's not the same without his presence there, but his presence was felt, you know. He was always the guy, and we talked about this before, that made you feel like you were the most important person in the room or the most important person outside the ropes. You might have been on the other side of the ropes, but he made you feel like you were walking right with him, and he just cared about everybody, and he was bigger than the game itself. That's probably a pretty bold term, but he was bigger than the game because he made people feel such a big part of the game, and it wasn't just about the score you put down on your card. It's keeping score with fans. It's keeping score with the media. It's doing all the right things. And a guy like Phil Mickelson, who's out there, you know, in contention yet again at Augusta National, learned so much from Arnie about signing an autograph that people can read and so forth. Ricky Fowler, the same story. You know, those two players are great with the fans of the game. So to not have the king there on the first tee is tough. You know, we need to really appreciate Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and those that have, made the game so great for all of us. We've lived in a great era. There's no question about it with role models.
Craig Kann joins us here on Drive Time Masters, of course. about three quarters of the way through round number two. You know, Sergio Garcia, I saw his interview today, Craig, and I know you've probably talked to him numerous times in the past, and, you know, always didn't have the greatest of reputations, but I got to tell you, I saw his interview today, and you're now in the communications business, a guy that, boy, seemed very humble, and I don't want to say that he was very careful with his wording today, but certainly a little bit of a different persona. I'm pulling for him, and there's actually four guys in this tournament, you know, I guess you could put in a class, you know, four players that haven't won a major that had chances down the pike, and it was Lee Westwood, of course, who had a good round yesterday,
right.
And Sergio, who's tied for the lead today, Casey, of course, and Slicker at 51, another one of those guys they lumped into that. Tell me a little bit about Sergio Garcia, again, tied with Charlie Hoffman,
yep.
and Peters for the lead. Tell me about him and what you see in his game, and what you see, his DNA right now.
Well, you know what, Mike? I think everybody, no matter what they do, as we get older, we become more real and we become more mature. And I think Sergio's had a pretty strong dose of reality over the years of not being able to get it done and taking some heat from fans. And I give him a lot of credit. I think he's come a long, long way. He has matured. He says the right things now. He is careful with his words. But when you've kind of been where he's been, you have to be. I think it's impressive. Sometimes when you don't want it so bad, it actually happens for you. And I think for a number of years, he wanted it so bad, that was part of his, I don't want to say demise, but it didn't put him in the best spotlight with the fans or the media. So, he's always had the game. He's a great ball striker. You know, he irons the ball so well, which is what you have to do at Augusta National. You talk all you want about driving the golf ball, but you got to put it in the right quadrant on the greens and then you've got to make the putts. So, Sergio's had his share of lumps over the years, but I think he'll probably hang in there. You know, a guy like Charlie Hoffman, who had a little volatility with a great round and then a 75 today, you know, you got to be consistent out there, but you got to hang around too. And that's the key at Augusta. You've got to hang around. That number's not going to go to 12 under par this year. I highly doubt it unless they really, you know, they can do a lot of things to the golf course. But it looks like right now, because of the weather, there's going to be some challenges. So I don't see it getting to that number. But it is a great leaderboard. Mickelson's there. What a story it would be if he won again, or Ricky Fowler. Fowler's just such a charismatic kid, and everybody roots for that kid. He's all class.
Again, reading a little bit last night on Charlie Hoffman, speaking of volleyball and your daughter, pretty good soccer player and baseball player out in San Diego as a young man growing up as well. We'd be remiss, Craig Cann, the original anchor, of course, of Golf Channel. That was the face we saw on a nightly basis every time we tuned into what has turned into a behemoth right now, and he's responsible for a portion of that. Craig Cann, we'd be remiss without talking about Dustin Johnson, the world's number one, an off-course type of injury. Almost compelling television on your old employer, the Golf Channel, watching him warm up the other day and go through his shorter clubs, Craig Cann. By the time he got to the long irons and by the time he got to the long big sticks, you could tell there was a little discomfort there. Really disappointing for him, I'm sure.
Well, from the people that I've talked to, you know, the whole thing is completely legit, and he hurt his elbow as well. And look, the golf course, with all the weather that they've had and the rain and so forth, has become a long golf course. It was right up his alley. I mean, it was playing right into his strengths. It's a very unfortunate incident. You want to talk about players who I think have come around and matured? Dustin Johnson was a little bit of a wild card when he first came out on the tour. And I remember him missing an interview at one point years ago, and everybody going, what's up with this guy? But he's really matured, and he is so talented. It's a shame because he's obviously, you know, on such a great run with winning tournaments and being number one in the world. And to go to Augusta National, the first major of the year for the men, and not have a chance to even compete, that's a tough, tough deal. So, you know, he probably needed a couple extra night lights around those stairs, or he needed a sub-air system on the steps on the stairs like they have at Augusta National so you don't slip. It's very unfortunate. But, man, he's fun to watch. He's fun to watch, and he's going to have success this year in the majors. There's no question about it.
And you know something else I read, which I really like, of course, being a hockey guy for so long that I'm not going to even divulge that information. But so they say the relationship with the 99, Wayne Gretzky, who knew a lot about how to handle himself and a lot about being a champion, I'm sure a lot of that's rubbed off on DJ as well. So certainly there's another element. What else stands out this week? You touched on a lot of guys in the leaderboard, but in general at Augusta National. Tell me about some of your experiences there and what you've taken out of there, the texture of the place and what you've seen. And listen, I guess there's no real storyline of the type of player that wins there, even though you talk about being able to putt, hit certain quadrants of the green and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. From your experience, both on the golf side and the broadcasting side, Craig Cann, in your career, what did you take out of Augusta National?
Well, first off, the place is better than it even appears on TV. You know, I think a lot of people talk about the green jackets and that maybe they're a little bit stuffy or they run it by their rules and so on. But I think Billy Payne and the green jacket folks at Augusta National have done an unbelievable job over the last, let's just call it 5, 6, 7 years of growing the game and doing things that are special. The drive, chip, and putt is a great concept. They've made the golf course better. They built a bigger media center. Every year you go back there, there's something new and something different and something that's spectacular. Nothing about the place is average or subpar. It's amazing how great it is. And you know, I was there in 1995 when Ben Crenshaw won. That was my first major for the Golf Channel and first Masters. I'll never forget it. And I had a chance to play Augusta National afterwards on Monday morning. And we had to start on the 10th hole and didn't even get to start on number one. And so Amen Corner came up real quick. We didn't get any warm-up balls. And away we went. And I remember I broke 90 that day. And I was a halfway decent player at one time. But I'll never forget that. You know, I had the chance, Mike, to interview Tiger Woods one-on-one when he won in 1997. So I'll never forget that, sitting in the clubhouse with him. That was a special moment, certainly. I think what stands out is that players like Fred Couples can still compete, you know, and can still hang around because they know so much about the course. Last time I checked the leaderboard, I think he was under par and playing well. And I think we're in a transition phase as well. You know, we don't know what to make of Tiger Woods anymore at this point. I mean, it's sad and that's kind of the storyline. Phil Mickelson has become, the guy over the last 10 to 15 years has just been so consistent every single year. And, I there's so many young kids that are coming out there that went on tour. You know, Peters is such a talent, and Thomas, you go on down the line. There's all these players, and Charlie Hoffman can certainly win the tournament. I mean, he won a FedEx Cup event. You know, that's on his resume. So you can't discount it, but it's just one of the neatest places. And you see the big tree up there at the clubhouse and everybody hanging out there. It's just like a reunion each and every year. It's a special, special thing. And not everybody gets the opportunity to go there, but once you do, you'll always remember it.
No question about it. Craig Cann joins us here on Drive Time. This is ESPN 106.5, the ticket. I'll let you go here, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, of course, after your broadcasting career, then into the administrative and management side in the LPGA Tour. I was on the road doing hockey this past weekend, and a lot of times in Canada, you don't get great golf coverage. You get a lot of hockey, believe me. But I did have the television on in a hotel, Craig, where I saw this whole Lexi Thompson situation go down. And I didn't bring you on here to start carving up the USGA, but I got to tell you, golf's got to do something on these rulings that are called in by viewers. I mean, I guess my first suggestion would be an easy one. At the end of the day, the round is over. You're not, you know, pretty soon you're going to have people calling in on Tuesday and they're making rulings on a shot that happened on Thursday. That'd be my one suggestion. From the management side of things, tell me about your take on Lexi, somebody that you got to know very, very well. I'm sure right. She handled this with great class, by the way, the way she handled this whole situation. Thing I didn't like about it, too, is she thinks she got a big lead. You're hitting greens and making pars, then all of a sudden says you're behind. She birdies the next hole. I give her credit for that. But what do you think is going to happen with all these scenarios?
Well, number one, we could talk this story for 30 minutes. you know, the rules of the game are the rules of the game right now, and you got to abide by the rules of the game. Having said that, the two-stroke penalty for mismarking the ball, I think that stands. But I have a big problem with the two-shot penalty for signing the incorrect scorecard, because she didn't know she was signing an incorrect scorecard at the time. You know, she didn't even know that she'd mismarked her ball. I don't like that part of it. I think the penalty was too severe. Two shots would have been fair. The other part of it too is, you know, a four shot swing. You got all those players who thought they were completely out of it. And if they know they're playing a lot different golf down the stretch. And that's what keeps seeming to happen in the game. Last year it happened at two events that were major championships. So, I don't like that. I am absolutely 100% in agreement with you. And that's the story I've told a bunch of people is I feel like at the end of the day, the shop's closed. It's just like any other business. When everybody's done, you go home and it's over. If somebody calls something in during that day or there's an infraction during that round, fine. But nobody in the NFL is going back to something that happened in the first quarter and all of a sudden in the fourth quarter saying, you know, that challenge flag that was thrown, actually that was an incorrect call and we're going to put 7 points on the board for the Atlanta Falcons or something like that. That just doesn't happen. You know, they don't do it in the NBA and say his foot was on the line on the 3-pointer. We're actually going to give you one more point and now you're up one with 0.2 seconds to go because it happened in the first half. That's not sports. And I think it's a bit unfair. Having said all that, you know, Mike Davis at the USGA and everybody that's in leadership in the game of golf right now, the RNA, they are working hard to help the rules of the game, to make the game easier, to make the game better for people. So I have full confidence that everything's going to be done and handled the right way. I think it was a mistake. It was unfortunate. People can blame the LPGA or say they handled it incorrectly. I know probably a little bit more about it than other people would know, but it could have happened on any tour. And having said that, I did text Lexi Thompson on Sunday night, and she was a class act. You're right. She handled it unbelievably well. I texted So-Yeon Yoo, who is probably the nicest player on the LPGA tour, and a deserving major champion. I'm happy for her. Suzanne Pedersen handled herself unbelievably well in her interview afterwards. And to me, that's what stood out, and that's what I'm most proud of, because that's what I spend a lot of time doing is talking to players about how we handle situations and dealing with the media and taking that spotlight when you get it and being as humble when something goes wrong as you are proud when something goes right. So I applaud, you know, the players and I think something's going to change in the game, but that was very, very unfortunate.
Well, the website is cannadvisory.com, and that's cannadvisory.com. He's off into a new sector of his life and career. Sounds like it's going pretty good, Craig.
It's a lot of fun. You know, I just wondered what was next. You know, I spent 17 and a half years at Golf Channel. I was at the LPGA 5.5 years as chief communications officer. And I wanted to, I love public speaking. I love giving back. I love trying to help people. And so, I'm helping executives and athletes with media training. I'm helping everybody with public speaking, how to handle the stage, own the stage, deliver the message. The brand is canadvisory.com. The brand itself is Elevating Communication, and that's what I try to do for people. And I've been very fortunate so far in a short time, 6-7 months, to be able to deliver talks for you know, big corporations like SAP and KPMG and a company called Blue Horseshoe Solutions in Indianapolis. And I just really enjoy that. I'm going to talk to a group in Orlando this summer, COSIDA. That's the College Sports Information Directors when they have their big conference. So I'm doing a lot of seminars and keynote speeches on influence and how to deal with your opportunities and personal branding and making the most of every public speaking opportunity. And the fact that people today don't really think of themselves and their own story as they should. We're always uncomfortable talking about ourselves to some degree, but if you don't pump your own brand, if you're not pumping your own show, there's no noise. You know, you got to do that. So try to teach people how to be able to do that, and do it effectively and strategically and with a little bit of their own flair and their own creativity. So I'm having fun doing it. Thanks.
Get back to volleyball. Thanks for taking the time. I'll talk to you soon. Keep it going. Always a pleasure.
One of the great sports markets in the country for golf is Toledo. Thanks for having me on. You got a great event on the LPGA, and now you got the Solheim Cup as well coming down the pike. So have a great one, Mike, and we'll talk soon.
Good stuff. You know, your White Sox split with my Tigers. Time for another conversation down the road on that. Craig Kahn joins us here with a first anchor for a Golf Channel and been a great contributor to this show as well. His appearance, of course, was on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone or at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations by phone or visit Vito's.com. The special this, well, tonight, basically. How about this? Beginning on Wednesday, last Wednesday, the giant one-topper, they've sold a lot of them. People are raving on it. $9. How about that? Giant one-topper, $9. Giant five-topper or specialty for $14. That's through April the 26th. Visit Vito's.com. Back with Paul Woods after the TAS Electronics update sports and weather. Right now, traffic around the corner.
Annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. This is Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Hey, everybody. We're excited about baseball, of course. Tigers pull one out today, 6-5. Fulmer was good. Bullpen almost gave it away. 6-5 Tigers. Mikey Matuk with a big hit late in the game. And Jacoby Jones walk late in the game wins it for the Tigers. FanDuel, by the way, we're excited about baseball. We're excited about FanDuel. About this, don't miss today's $250,000 Major League Baseball Grand Slam special with $50,000 for first place. Baseball underway. Get on board with FanDuel. Joining us now is the analyst for the Detroit Red Wings radio network. Paul Woods is his name. Very patient today as we were taking some reports from Craig Kahn, a longtime anchor for the Golf Channel, talking about the Masters. Hello, Woodsy. How are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. Always great hearing your voice as well. You know, I'm thinking about this today. I know you played in the old Olympia. Then, of course, over to Joe Louis Arena and your broadcasting career with the Detroit Red Wings. I think there might have been a little gap there, but, man, you spent a lot of time at the JLA, no doubt about it.
You know, Mike, it's sort of funny. Like, I didn't think it had the same effect that Olympia had on me, but as we get closer to it, it starts to, because you start to think back of all the different people and stuff you came in contact with. And, yeah, I had about probably 5 years playing there, and then I was off for 1 year, and then I started this job, and now it's 30 years later. So, yeah, I've been down there a lot. And, you know, Mike, as you know from doing it, like it's like structure. Like you come into through the same door, you see the same people, you go through the same routine day after day, but you like it. Like it's, and the conversation's always good. And you know, it's everybody. It's from, you know, scouts to players, to vendors, security people. You know, people from just going through that process and, it's enjoyable, and you're going to miss all that. You know, it's I know it'll be similar at the new place, but it won't be the same. And you know, for me, anyways, I want to miss that.
Hey, you know what? The older we get, Paul. Again, talking to Paul Woods, former Red Wing, and the radio analyst on the Detroit Red Wings radio network. I mean, boy, I think you said a mouthful here. My wife would confirm this 100%. The older we get, we kind of cling and need and enjoy, I'll put it this way, our routines and our way of life. It almost is who you become the older you get, and the venues you go to become a part of that. I got to tell you, Paul, I was an old a rink rat and used to get my old Chevrolet and after school or even skip school every now and then, and used to make my way over on Grand River and walk into that old Olympia Stadium as a high school kid, maybe a little bit older, just to watch probably you and some of the Red Wings practice a little bit. I love that building as well. It had such a great charm and character. And really, from the beginning, that Joe Louis was, you know, for a lot of different reasons, people didn't, for some reason, like this about it or didn't like that about it. And when Mike Ilitch, who they honored today at Comerica Park, and, of course, I'm sure there'll be a lot of Mike Ilitch talk over the weekend at the Joe Louis Arena, he really did put a little bit of a warmth in history into that building, which I thought was a great look.
Yeah, it changed, Mike. When we first got there, it wasn't good and didn't have a good feel to it. And, you know, what we left behind was such a deep feeling and such great history. It was hard to see the reasoning behind it. But in time, then it started to change. And, of course, you know, the six Stanley Cup finals and the four wins, and so many great players and so many. You know, Mike, I'm going to do it now, starting tomorrow and Sunday. I sort of made a list up of just all the different players and coaches and general managers and just people that have sort of an effect and were there for a long time and sort of had an effect when the game's being played in Joe Louis. And I'll go over each one of those guys. When you start going back, you just come up with more and more names and stuff and just so many great players and Hall of Famers. And, you know, Mike, the thing about too, you mentioned before about the age part, and it's definitely probably true, but part of sports is structure. Like it's like the military in that stage, like, and that effect that we like that. Like it's, like we get on the bus, we sit in the same seat. We get on the plane, we sit in the same seat. Everything's the same. It's all on time. If you're not there, they leave without you. When it's structured up and you've done that for your whole life, it does sort of feel weird sometimes when that's been taken away or it changes. So, maybe that's a feeling, but, it's just been good at Joe Louis. Again, I've just seen so many great games there and be lucky to be able to do it. And this one now, Mike, again, you know how difficult it is to make the playoffs in the NHL, but to do it for 25 consecutive years, it again will be a record that will never, ever be touched ever again.
No, no doubt about it. I talked, you know, we've had Jeff Blashill on this show, and I had Greg Krupa on. I've had Bob Duff on. We had a lot of Red Wing guys that have come on over the years and continue to come on one of my shows here down in Toledo. And I said that. I started the day after the Red Wings didn't get in, exactly what you said, Paul, was this is not going to happen again. What a tremendous, tremendous run for the Detroit Red Wings. Moving forward, not to get off track on the Joe here a little bit, but I started looking at some of the teams in the Eastern Conference last night and just for the heck of it put a little arrow by the side of their team and what direction I think they're going to be going in over the next 2 or 3 years. I think Detroit's going to get better. They're going to have to get better, not because of where they're at now. That's part of it. But the other part is you look at the teams in the East, your Carolinas and your Torontos, you know, right, are prime examples. Those guys are on the move.
And but Buffalo, too. Buffalo and, you know, Ryan O'Reilly come out and said it's pathetic. We missed the playoffs the last 2 years. We're not moving ahead. He's not happy, so. He sent a message, you know, and a lot of people said that was wrong, and if you wanted to say his teammates, but I think what he's doing is it's shot fired across the bow. Like, and he holds himself accountable too. Like, he's not saying I'm good, the rest of his aren't. He says I got to be better too, but he's saying we got to get better here. And I think that's a good thing in sports. I think that, and then they have to be get better, and they've got ways to do it in the off season, and it's up to management or team to do that, and the coaches do a good job. But you know, as far as the Wings might get to, though, they're very competitive. At least just my opinions now, but they're extremely competitive, and they don't like this. And I'll guarantee you, like, in my mind, they'll be coming back hard in the offseason and making whatever changes necessary and getting back on track. And they'll start another streak again next year because that's what it's all about in the NHL right now is getting better every year. And this whole idea about, you know, a five-year plan, when they said Mike Babcock and Toronto would be a five-year plan, they said, not when he's coaching. I said, I know him from Detroit. It's right now. They're going to win games right now.
Yeah.
And that's, he always says, he's a phrase, that we're in the winning business. Like, you know, and that's what they do, just win hockey games. So he's not sitting around waiting, and you can see the effect he's had. And, Mike, one more thing I want to say, too, just about Detroit, too. It's original six teams. There's just the history is so deep and so long. It's just so – there's a responsibility there. And I felt that when we closed down Olympia and stuff, and they brought the old players, same thing. They all came back, and the last game, Quebec Nordiques and stuff. And afterwards, we went to the Holiday Inn in Dearborn. They had a Holiday Inn in Dearborn, had a little sort of party afterwards, and just the older players and the current players, but what a great moment that was. But the point is, you feel responsibility to those guys. When you see those guys coming back, and these guys will be back now starting tomorrow against Montreal and Sunday against New Jersey, there's a feeling there. You've got to play well. You've got to finish this thing up right. And that's the thing about Original 16, such a deep history. It really has an effect, I think, on the players.
No question about it. I mean, it just gives me chills even to think of some of the guys you're going to see here. And, of course, we lost number 9, Gordy. In fact, watching the Masters today, I mentioned this earlier today. What a year for losses in sports. You lose the King, you lose Mr. Hockey, and you lose the greatest, Ali Howe, of course, and the great Arnold Palmer. So, listen, you respect the sports, you respect the guys that you'll see this weekend that were part of it and the fabric of the Detroit Red Wings. There's no doubt about it. Listen, I ended up being in this business for 40 years. Consider myself very fortunate because I grew up watching you and Channel 50 and listening to Bud and to Bruce, and was a huge Red Wing fan as a kid growing up. Absolutely unbelievable. Woodsy, thanks a lot. Always great hearing your voice. Enjoy your weekend. It's going to be different for you. You're not going into the playoffs for the first time in a while. Again, as you mentioned, Montreal and New Jersey in town over the weekend. Thanks for coming on. Soak it in. I know you will.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much.
That's Paul Woods, former Detroit Red Wing, of course, and a longtime broadcaster with Ken Kell on the Detroit Red Wings radio network. Back to close it out. This is Drive Time. My name's Mike Miller.
ESP steering wheel and turn up the dial. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back. ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. All of our guests appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations by phone or visit Vito's.com. How about this? Giant one topper, $9. That's good through April the 26th. Again, visit Vito's.com. Vito's.com. And again, that's the Vito's Pizza phone line. Our guest tonight on that Vito's Pizza phone line, Paul Woods, color analyst for the Detroit Red Wings. They closed down the Joe this weekend. And Craig Cann, a longtime anchor, by the way, of the Golf Channel, worked for the LPGA. And our relationship basically started back in Kalamazoo, Michigan, in the mid-'80s when Craig was doing weekend sports and I was doing the play-by-play for the Kalamazoo Wings. At the time, they were in the old IHL. So a long-time relationship and a guy that's done very well that loves the game of golf and has a real passion for what he does. I think you can tell by the interview. Well, we'll do it again next week. Monday, by the way, we're at Forest View Lanes for Drive Time at 5 o'clock. So tune in. I'll talk to you then. Enjoy the weekend from not only myself but the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, the great sales associates, coming to you tonight from the showroom as always. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Remember that $138 a month lease. The new 2000, this is a great deal, by the way, the new 2017 Ram 1500 four-wheel drive, four-door crew cab, $138 a month. Come up and see the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, or any of the great sales associates. Frank Gargano was our producer tonight. Great job, Frank. Talk to you later.